Well, it is good to be with you this morning. I certainly am sorry about your pastor being sick, but we sure pray for him that the Lord will touch him and help him. And I understand that you've had a lot of sickness. I was sick myself a couple of weeks ago, and it sure isn't any fun. But thank God for his help and his grace and strength and for touching us and being with us. And so I just hope the Lord can use us to be a help and a blessing to you this morning. I told Brother Rick called me. I had just got home from a meeting. I was in a revival meeting over in Hickory last week, and I had just got home when he called me. He said, I wonder if there's any chance by some kind of miracle you'd be available Sunday. I said, well, it just so happens I am. And so I'm glad it worked out. All right, be turning in your Bibles with us to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. And sister was singing that song a while ago about, I really enjoyed that singing. It was a blessing. But that song about take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And I want to preach about a man that did just that this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And in verse number 9, 1 Chronicles 4 and verse number 9, the Bible said, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we realize this morning, Lord, that in ourselves, Lord, we are so unworthy to stand here in your presence today. But God, we thank you for the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus, that he was willing to go to the cross of Calvary and willing to take our place and shed his blood that we might be redeemed. And Lord, I pray that as we stand here before your people to preach today, God, that you might speak through these lips of clay to each one of our hearts. Lord, I pray you might draw us up a little closer to you. Help us leave here, Lord, today closer than what we were when we came. Lord, we want to pray for Brother Rick and all the others that are still sick. God, we pray you'd touch them today and grant the healing and the help that they need. And Lord, we need you more than anything in this world. And I pray you'll help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If the Lord would help me, I want to try to preach for a few minutes this morning on the thought of from bitterness to blessedness. From bitterness to blessedness. You know, a lot of times you get to reading through the Chronicles if you're, you know, I don't know how everybody is, but there's been times I've been, you know, trying to read through the Bible, you know, and you get over there in these Chronicles, and I tell you, if you ain't careful, you can get hung up in here because there's so many of these big, long names, and so-and-so beget so-and-so, and he beget, and you get about 40 or 50 verses where it's just all somebody begetting somebody and you can't even pronounce who it is. And if you ain't careful, you can kind of get discouraged. And the big temptation is to just kind of skip on across and and just leave it behind. But you know, if you skip it all, if you ain't careful, you'll miss a nugget that the Lord's got in there. Because right in the midst of all these genealogies here, these two little verses, you read about a man by the name of Jabez. And he was such an unusual man. The word Jabez means sorrowful. Sorrowful. And, you know, when you think about naming a man sorrowful, there must have been something that was really tragic about this boy's birth. It's hard to imagine a mother naming her boy sorrowful. But that's what happened to this man. And I want you to think with me about two or three things about this man this morning, and I hope God can use us to be a help. I want to say about this man that he was born in adversity. Now, we don't know exactly what happened that caused his mother to feel like that he was going to live a life of sorrow. You know, a lot of times when they name children in the Bible, they named them based on what they felt like their life would be. Now, I know that to some degree, the Bible teaches that we were all born in sorrow. Because you remember that after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that the Lord said to the woman, he said to Eve in Genesis 3:16, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And so there is a certain way of saying that we were all born in sorrow. We know that we were born with a sin nature that we inherited from our father Adam. And because of that, we're all sinners. The Bible said by one man sin entered the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And so there's a sense in which there's sorrow that goes with every life. But this man, his mother named him Jabez. She said, because I bear him with sorrow. You don't have to turn here, but you may remember the story in the book of Genesis about Jacob and Rachel when they were on their journey. And Rachel was, the Bible said, she was heavy with child. She had one son by the name of Joseph, and she would only have one more, and that would be Benjamin. But you remember how that when she came in great travail with child, and she died giving birth to her second son, and when she was at the point of death, she said to Jacob, she said, now let's name this boy Benoni. And the word Benoni meant son of my sorrow. But Jacob said, no, we're not going to name this boy Benoni, but we're going to name him Benjamin. And the word Benjamin means son of my right hand. In other words, Jacob said, we're not going to put a name like that on this boy. We're not going to name him son of my sorrow, but we're going to name him, we're going to give him a powerful name. We're going to name him son of my right hand. And so there was a lot that went into a name when they named a child. But for some reason, Jabez's mother, when Jabez was born, she said, I bear him with sorrow, and she named him sorrowful, or Jabez, which means sorrowful. Now, I don't know whether Jabez's mother died in childbearing. We don't know that. I don't know whether maybe Jabez could have been an unwanted child, or whether she had a lot of complications at his birth. We don't know, but you know, you think about what it would have been like as a child growing up, and people see you coming up the road toward them, you know, and somebody says, "Well, who's that coming yonder?" And they say, "Well, that's old Sorrowful. That's old Sorrowful." And you know, a lot of times kids growing up, if they have an unusual name, they have really they get kidded about it a lot, and they kind of get a rough way to go about that. That's something, you know, why when you name a child, you need to be careful that you give them a good name, because if you don't, they may have a rough way with it, you know, in life. And so we don't know why, but for some reason, this mother looked at this boy and didn't have a whole lot of hope that he was going to have a happy life. She said, "I'm going to name him Sorrowful." And so we see he was born in adversity. But secondly, I want you to notice this. The Bible tells us that he was not only born in adversity, but he besought the Almighty. The Bible said in verse 10, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." Now, you know, what I like about this man is that even though he was given a name like that, you know, he didn't allow himself to be swallowed up with self-pity. Now, here's what he could have done. You know, old Jabez, he could have just kind of sat down on a stump somewhere, and he could have looked at it like this. He could have said, "Well, you know, when I was born, my mama didn't have no hope for me. She named me Sorrowful. She felt like my whole life was just going to be full of sorrow. And you know, I don't guess there's no use of me even trying. There ain't no use of me even having any hope that anything can be any better. I mean, with a name like I got, what kind of chance do I have in life?" And he could have just felt sorry for himself and just quit and just give up on life and everything. But you know, you got to give it to this old boy. He didn't give up, and he wasn't swallowed up with pity. But the Bible said that he called on the God of Israel. Amen. I'll tell you, he had the attitude. He said, "I might have been born in sorrow, and my mama might not have had much hope for me. But," he said, "thank God there's a God in heaven that can do something for me." Amen. Praise God. You know, a lot of times the devil will try to beat you on the head, and he'll tell you that no good is going to come, that everything's gone bad, and there ain't no hope for nothing. But I'm going to tell you, praise God, with God all things are possible, and no matter how bad the circumstance might get, there is a God in heaven that can do something. Amen. Yes, there is. You know, that old boy, it's interesting that the Bible says that he called on the God of Israel. And you know, that makes me think that old Jabez, and I know, you know, that they didn't have as easily access to the scriptures as we've got today, but I believe by this time they at least had what they call the books of Moses, you know, the first five books of the Bible. And I believe old Jabez got to read the scripture. Because I feel like, and the reason I say this is because he said he called on the God of Israel. Now, who was Israel? Israel was Jacob until God changed his name to Israel. Remember that? And what, when I read that, it makes me think that he got to reading about old Jacob, who was another man that was given a pretty bad name. You see, Jacob means supplanter. In other words, it means a trickster, a conniver, a schemer. That's what Jacob's name meant. And you know, if you study Jacob's life, in the early part of Jacob's life, he was not the kind of man you would want for a friend. Because if you turned your back on Jacob, he'd take everything you had before you knew it. That's the way he operated. Remember what he did to his brother Esau? Now, I know Esau wasn't a spiritual man, but listen, Jacob took advantage of that man. I mean, he got his birthright off of him for a pot of stew. Yeah. And I know a lot of it was Esau's fault, but Jacob was conniving and scheming. And then you remember when it was time to get the family blessing from his father. And Isaac told Esau to go out in the field and kill him some venison and bring it in and fix that meat like he loved it. And he said, once you do that, son, I'm going to bless you. Jacob heard that, or Rebekah heard that. And she told Jacob, she said, we got to get that blessing for you. He said, go get me a couple goats. I had the flock. And went out there and she cooked up. She must have been some kind of a good cook. If you could make goat meat taste like venison, you're doing pretty good, ain't you? I mean, you're bound to be. She's a pretty good cook. And so she cooked up that stew for him and got some of Esau's clothes and took some of that skins off them goats and put it on old Jacob. And he come in there and went before his father, and his daddy was about blind, you know, and he said the voice is Jacob's, but he said, you smell like Esau. And he had all that old skin on him and everything. And he said, now tell me, are you my son Esau? And old Jacob lied. He said, yeah, I am. I'm Esau. And he stole his brother's blessing. Now, that's the kind of man Jacob was. That's the kind of man Jacob was. Until one night, he got in a wrestling match with the angel of the Lord. Huh? The angel of the Lord got a hold of Jacob. And Jacob got a hold of the angel. And right before morning light, that means they wrestled all night. The angel said, let me go. The day's coming. I got to go. I got to get out of here. And Jacob said, listen to what he said. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And God said to Jacob, what is your name? Remember that? What is your name? And Jacob looked back toward the Lord and he said, my name is Jacob. I guarantee you it's hard to say. Because you know what he was saying? God, in giving him his name, he was telling him who he was. But more than that, he was telling God what he was. My name is Jacob. In other words, yes, I'm a schemer. I'm a trickster. I'm a conniver. I'm a thief. And God said, now I may be putting a little tripology in here, but the Lord said to him in essence, old boy, that's what I've been waiting a long time to hear you say. I've just been waiting for you to admit what you are. And since you finally admitted to me and owned up to what you are, I'm going to change you and I'm going to change your name. And instead of you being Jacob, you ain't going to be Jacob no more. But I'm going to call you Israel, which means a prince with God.
And God reached back and got a hold of that muscle right behind Jacob's leg, and God just jerked it out of place. And Jacob, when he got up out of that place that night, he never did walk the same again. God took his strength away from him, and he had to rely on the Lord from then on, and he was a changed man. He was no longer Jacob. And I believe old Jabez got to reading about what happened to Jacob and how even though he had a name like Jacob, God changed it and blessed him. And the Bible says that Jabez called on the God of who? The God of Israel. Oh, yeah. He called on the God of Israel and said, what? What was it Jacob asked for? He asked for God to, what? I'll let you go if you, what? Bless me. He called on the God of Israel and said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I think he was kind of looking at that situation and saying, God, if you'd done something like that for old Jacob and you blessed him and you changed him and, oh God, I may have a bad name, but God, I want you to bless me. If you can do it for Jacob, you can do it for me. And look what he asked God for. He said, I want you to bless me indeed. He said, and enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. You know, some of you, if you're like me, it's been a long time since I graduated from high school. Now, I know some of you hadn't even graduated yet, maybe. Well, I don't know. I don't see too many. There's one right yonder ain't graduated yet. Amen, bro. But you remember how that, you know, kids would sign each other's high school annual or something, you know, and they'd write something about them. And every once in a while, somebody would say something like, to so-and-so, you will go far, or something, you know. But if somebody had assigned Jabez his high school annual with a name like Sorrowful, they wouldn't have said he'd go far. They said, man, you ain't gonna never go nowhere. But old Jabez, he said, Lord, the world may think I ain't going to mount to nothing and ain't going to go nowhere. But God, I want you to enlarge my coast. I want you to send me places that nobody ever imagined I'd ever get to. Extend my coast, Lord. Let me go somewhere. Let me have a far-reaching life. Enlarge my coast. Praise God. What a prayer. Bless me indeed. Send me somewhere, Lord. Expand my borders. Lord, they say I ain't going to mount to nothing and I won't never go nowhere. Lord, I want you to prove them wrong. And then he said, and that thine hand might be with me. Not only do I want enlargement, but I want enablement. Enable me. That thy hand might be with me. Think about what he's asking for. He said, God, I want your hand to be with me. Do you know, if you've got God's hand on you, you don't need any other hand. He said, God, I want your hand to be with me. Put your hand on me. Praise God. Enable me. And then he said, I want to have some enjoyment in life. Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Lord, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Kind of like that prayer Jesus said we ought to pray. Lead me not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, sin won't bless you, but sin will grieve you. And he said, Lord, keep me from it. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Years ago, and this story has come to me through the years, from some old preachers that a lot of them done gone home to be with the Lord, but they knew this man, and I've had some of them talk to me about this man. He was probably, he's probably been gone now for, he's been dead at least probably 40 years. But there was a boy born in Galax, Virginia, years ago. How many of you have heard of, Galax? Some of you, Galax, Virginia? And this boy's name was Lindy Clear. Lindy Clear was his name. And Lindy was born deformed physically. He had an enlarged head. His head was abnormally large. And his body was kind of sort of bent and twisted. And when Lindy was growing up, his parents were ashamed of him because of the way he looked. Lindy was physically deformed, but mentally, he was almost a genius. He was very smart. He was brilliant. But when he was growing up, if his family was having company coming over, they would say things to him that were mean and hurtful. They'd say something like, Lindy, now we got company coming. You go back there and go to your room and shut the door. We don't want them having to look at you while they're here. And he grew up having to deal with that kind of hurt. But one day Lindy got saved. And Lindy got the joy of God in his heart. And he had great talent. He could play the piano and sing. He'd play a guitar and sing. And long story short, back in the days when Dr. Percy Ray was running the Camp Zion down in Myrtle, Mississippi, we're talking about way back in the 1950s and 60s, he'd go down to Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi, and there would be thousands of people present in that meeting. And Dr. Ray would call Lindy to come to the platform. He'd say, Lindy, come up here and sing for us, would you? And they tell me that when Lindy Clear would come to the platform and sing, that the glory of God would fall all over that tabernacle. People would shout, praise God, rejoice. And God used that man for years and years. He traveled up and down the road, and mostly the southeastern part of the United States, had an old guitar in the back seat, and went from church to church. and rejoicing, and multitudes of people were helped and blessed by this man. If you'd have seen Lindy when he was growing up as a boy, you'd have said he won't never mount to nothing. But I'm telling you, God sent him far and wide and blessed him in a wonderful way. Friend, I'm telling you, old Jabez said, I ain't going to let this thing destroy me. I'll tell you, they might not have had no hope for me. They might have named me sorrowful. But I'll tell you right now, I ain't going to give up. I'm going to call on the God of Israel. I'm going to ask the same God that changed Jacob's name. I'm going to ask God to do something for me. And God, I want you to bless me. Indeed, amen. And so he was born in adversity. He besought the Almighty, but he was blessed abundantly. Because the Bible says this, and God granted him that which he requested. The Bible said he can do exceedingly abundantly above anything we think or ask. I'll tell you, there's always hope in the Lord. Praise God. There's hope in the Lord. Yes, sir. And look what the Bible says. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. In other words, the one that they thought, when they looked at that family, apparently, the one they thought wouldn't mount to nothing turned out to be more honorable than all the rest of them. In other words, he wound up being the pick of the litter. And they didn't think he's going to be anything but sorrowful. Old sorrowful. And he wound up being more honorable than his brethren. Let me give you something else right quick, and I'm going to be done. Look over in 1 Chronicles, back a couple pages, at chapter 2 and verse 55. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 55. In 1 Chronicles 2, 55, the Bible says, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. Guess what? Looks like old Jabez got a town named after him. And you know who dwelt there? The Bible said the scribes dwelt there. Now, in that day, you know what a scribe was, right? A scribe was a man that copied the scriptures. They didn't have printing presses back then like we got today. If you got a copy of the scripture, it had to be handwritten. And that's what a scribe did. He copied the scriptures by hand. And these scribes lived in a place that was named Jabez. My. Had a town named after him where they copied the scriptures. I just want to leave you with this morning. Praise God. Sister sang a while ago, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. There ain't no telling what God might do. You remember that old thief on the cross when he looked at Jesus that day and he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Well, you know, if Jesus had only done exactly what the thief asked for, the thief would still be waiting for that prayer to be answered, because Jesus has not come back in his kingdom yet. One day Jesus is going to come and he's going to sit on the throne of David. And one day Jesus is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this earth. But it hadn't happened yet. The thief would still be waiting. But Jesus did abundantly above what the thief asked for. The thief asked for something that hasn't even happened yet. But it's like Jesus, it's kind of like Jesus said, I can do you better than that, old boy. There ain't no need of waiting for the kingdom to come. Today, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Right.
Hallelujah. Today, I'll just take you with me down to paradise today. I don't know what your heartache or your burden might be this morning, but there is a God in heaven, the God of Israel, that is able to bless you indeed. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.